isn't it about time for somebody's favorite radio program?
You're with Matt Masters, and this is the Rock and Rhythm Review. For the next 28 minutes, stay tuned for Indiana's only educational, self-indulgent radio program, showcasing the music from 1945 to 1965. I'm not an accredited musicologist, nor hold an advanced degree in music history, but harbor a fascination for tone wheel generators and a passion for the music popular back when my parents first went to church and heard how great and swell a big old gal named Leslie sounded. Although not as prolific in rock and rhythm as the saxophone, guitar, or piano, the electric organ was just as key and expressive an instrument as its more popular cousins, but one name was so linked with that of the electric organ that you would presume there were no other electric organ manufacturers. Of course, that wasn't the case, but virtually so. There is no backstory of the crazed genius developing a revolutionary electric organ that would never register commercial success. That would be the stories of Thaddeus Cahill and Morse Robb. The backstory is that of an engineering genius with nary a musical bone in his body, but the drive to make inexpensive organs for churches with scarcely a notion that his inventions would be embraced by secular musicians to create such a vibrant sound in rock and rhythm. It's time we pull out all the stops on this installment of the Rock and Rhythm Review as we explore the sonic wonders of Lawrence Hammond. Joining in the chorus of Hammond devotees, we'll hear from Big Moose and the Jams, the Wild Bill Davis Trio, Jimmy McGriff, Booker T and the MGs, the Doc Bagby Quartet, Johnny and the Hurricane, Slim Gaylord, the Marvelettes, and Sam Lazar. Johnny Big Moose Walker hoofed his way up from the Delta to Chicago, where he grew into an in-demand plank spanker by the late 50s. Although he was adroit at piano, it was on a Hammond that Moose laid tracks with recurrent musical partner, guitar guru Earl Hooker, in 1962 as Big Moose and the Jams, Off the Hook. Organ's greatest exponent, Jimmy Smith, consistently cited Wild Bill Davis as his inspiration to take up the Hammond. Davis began experimenting with the Hammond in the late 40s during his tenure with Louis Jordan, before pioneering the organ trio concept and becoming, arguably, the Hammond's most pivotal figure. As for Davis's solo singles, this 1953 tune on OK joyfully displays the Jordan influence. Bring the money in.
Spend till you bring that money in. You know it takes money.
Put a nickel in the pot, boy.
To have all of life's joys.
Dime in the pot, boy.
Each and every one lend a helping hand.
25 cents.
Put a nickel in the pot,
not on
boy.
The
bring the money in. Bring the money in. We won't have no dough to spend till you bring that money in.
Pot boy.
It's true, I've found.
Put a dime in the pot
but
boy.
But this money's for a real good cause. So
cents.
Everybody stick around.
Not on a quarter.
Bring the money in. Bring the money in. We won't have no dough to spend until you bring that money in.
In 1954, Hammond introduced what was to become its most revered organ, the B3. Many pianists were captivated, and young Jimmy McGriff was not exempt. The Philly bass McGriff worked under the tutelage of Hammond greats Groove Holmes, Milt Buckner, and maestro Jimmy Smith, so it should be of little wonder that McGriff's 1962 debut cover of Ray Charles's I've Got a Woman would be a hit. Harold Doc Bagby was A&R man for Philly's Gotham label and an East Coast session ace, yet little information, save his premature 1970 passing, is available for Doc. Initially a pianist, Doc took to a Hammond on dozens of recordings for Gotham and a myriad of other labels like King, and this 1955 instrumental with his quartet, Grinding. In 1950, Hammond introduced the S-Series chord organ with the explicit purpose of supplanting a piano in every home. Dropping Hammond's signature tone wheel generators for two bass oscillators, the chord organ was designed to be cheap, small, and easy to play. So where else would you expect to hear it than on a teen rock instrumental? Here's Johnny and the Hurricanes 1959 update of the cowboy standard, Red River Valley, with Paul Teslick on Hammond. Red River Rock. Thank you. testament to Lawrence Hammond's genius may lie no further than 1938, when he and his team created the first polyphonic synthesizer dubbed the Novachord. Never intended to be an organ, Hollywood found most use for its eerie tones in films like The House of Frankenstein and This Island Earth. Little wonder the eccentric Slim Gaylord would record an ode to the peculiar Hammond for the Atomic label in 1945. Novachord Boogie. There isn't much known of Hammond wizard Sam Lazar. It's reported Lazar suffered from mental illness and his whereabouts after the early 60s are undocumented. Lazar took the path from piano to organ upon hearing Jimmy Smith and recorded a rare single on the Cathron label before re-recording the single with additional material for his 1960 debut LP on Chess's Argo imprint. Featuring fretboard aces Grant Green and the ubiquitous Willie Dixon, Spaceflight. Thank you. Now, some of you may have noticed I mentioned Jimmy Smith a few times in the program, and you're thinking, how can you do a Hammond show without Jimmy Smith? Well, it's simple. This is a short show. You'd be hard-pressed to find any of his material short enough for inclusion. But have no doubt, Jimmy Smith is Rockin' Rhythm's Raja of the Hammond.
Hey, why do you think I'm conning you? I'm telling you, I really do have this big organ.
All right, we'll go to your place and you can show me your organ. But I'm warning you, it best be having music coming out of it.
Like many members of Motown's house band, the Funk Brothers, Earl Van Dyke was hidden behind a veil of obscurity. Van Dyke was a master of the 88s, or on a Hammond B3, the 122s, and it was on a B3 that Earl's slinky counter melody gave this Smokey Robinson penned Marvelettes tune from 1965 the subtle character that defines it, Don't Mess With Bill. This is Matt Masters, and thanks for tuning in to this installment of the Rockin' Rhythm Review. My special thanks to Jim Walsh and Don Leslie. Send your complaints, critiques, and compliments to wmat@mail.com and visit Jetmasters, two T's in Jet, to learn more about the review. It was born out of a failed 1962 Billy Lee Riley session and came from the fingers of a teenage Hammond prodigy. Booker T. Jones was said prodigy, and it was his riff, along with cohorts Al Jackson, Steve Cropper, and Louis Steinberg, that made up the Stack Records house band, Booker T and the MGs, and their Green Onions became arguably the most recognizable instrumental in rock and rhythm.